All that right there would make for a fine show, but we aim a little higher here on Downtown. And so we get things underway by welcoming back to the program author, radio host, actor, college professor Gary Tangway with us. Hello, Gary.
Yeah, the professor thing still throws me for a loop.
You get that college schedule, too. I'm just starting the fourth quarter in public schools, but you're what, weeks away from finals here?
I can tell you that my professors at the University of Maine had the greatest scam going. It is the greatest gig in the world. It really is. I mean, I know why people get tenure. Why would you leave?
Right.
Why would you leave?
Yeah, exactly. Although, as I'm sure you've learned, things have changed a little bit. You always think of the Breakfast Club, where the custodian says to the assistant principal, "The kids didn't change. You changed." And yet, some things have changed. I'll bet you're getting more students than you ever imagined who are telling you things like, I didn't do the work, I forgot about it, my mom told me I didn't have to come in last class because I wasn't feeling well, that kind of thing.
Well, I have two different classes. One is sports communications, and that's at Anna Maria College, just north of Worcester. And the other one is Emerson. Now, the Emerson class is sports radio, and those kids are locked in. And here's the problem with that class. They know more than me because, you know, for example, I have one student that's got like something like 80,000 followers on his Snapchat or whatever it is. And he's doing Man on the Streets. He's doing podcasts. And quite frankly, I sit back and I go, I don't know what I can teach this kid. Because of technology, when you and I started, we needed to be at a radio station or we would play pretend radio. But we just didn't have the technology now where, you know, one of my students has a podcast that's phenomenal. All I do is help them get guests, you know. So these kids have grown up in front of a camera. They've grown up in front of a microphone, which is their phone. So I'm kind of like halfway through the semester and I'm going, okay, now what do I do? You know, they're just so accustomed to the technology. Now, with the other class in sports communication, I have a lot of students that don't know what they want to do with their lives. So they said, oh, well, this looks easy, right? So, you know, that's where I get to, like, oh, I didn't know, or I didn't, I go, it's on your, you know, it's on the syllabus. It's right there. It's in black and white. And I'm easy, man. I'm not in it to be a hard ass. But when I find a student that knows what they want to do, they're locked in. That's the problem. You know, I mean, especially in today's world with the media rich, I don't know what to tell them.
Right.
You know, are you going to be a content creator? You have to make your own way. You don't call Rich Kimball every other day or every day and hope to get a part-time job playing country records. Yeah.
Well, that's the way it works. But you knew when I met you when you were, what, 16, 17 years old, you knew what you wanted to do. So if you were... If you were 18, 19 today and starting out at the University of Maine, what direction would you go? Would you wait around for those opportunities or would you be out there doing your own podcast?
No, you'd be doing your own thing. I mean, I'd be doing my own thing. I would probably got in my fraternity house. What a cast of characters I would have. I know some of them. But I would be doing my own thing because the technology's there. And it's also very fragmented. Like a lot of the students that are interested in sports, for example, I have a couple of kids that do this great hockey podcast, and they worship spinning chiclets, and that's what they want to do is hockey. So in my class, I've said, okay, you guys can't do hockey because they do it anyways. They do it on their own. You know, they have a podcast where they sit and they go. So yeah, I'd be doing it because it's there. It's available. Well, it's available. And I mean, kids are making movies with their phones. Yeah, it's really incredible with what they're doing. The only thing you can tell them is you try to hone the skills. I mean, it still comes down to the basics. You know, make sure you identify yourself. Make sure people know who you are. Make sure you're authentic. Accuracy isn't really as high on the list as it once was in more ways than one. But I do tell them differentiate fact from fiction. You know, make sure people know what's your opinion and what's fact. because that's kind of important.
Well, and you know, you if you can create a niche for yourself out there, I mean, it happened in broadcasting too. Mel Kiper invented a job that didn't exist, but now, look, if you say you're that person, if you're that hockey expert, you say it loud enough and enough people hear it, eventually they'll believe it.
Well, and they'll go right to you. You don't need a company to do it for you.
Right.
So that's what happens. It's easier if you get on a platform, but you can make your way without having a platform initially. I mean, Bill Simmons proved that. You know, as I tell the story, Michael Felger and Tony Maserati and Steve Conwory were all hired by the Boston Herald. Bill Simmons wasn't. So he started the Boston Sports Guy, and now he's making more money than everyone. So, you know, if you have that drive, you can definitely do it. Like, there's nothing holding you back, but you have to find out how to make a living on your own. Whereas, you know, Rich Kimball would pay me $1.75 an hour or whatever Hale had in the budget, you know.
But
I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's a good example on my street. You know, a young man who's my neighbor, and he ended up being an intern with us, worked really hard. He now works for Amazon Sports. And his job is to blend analytics with sports knowledge.
Hmm.
And he is the conduit with the numbers geeks and the engineers and the games. And like I said, Andrew, give me an example. He goes, okay, Gary, I'm taking three guys from MIT out to play golf. And I said, and they pay you for this. And they go, yeah. And during the golf game, we discuss, this is how you play the game. This was what it's about. How do we make the numbers work? How do we make it more appealing for teams, for the PGA, for the consumer, for fantasies, for gambling? You know, that's the world we're living in now, you know?
And is the ultimate goal, though, for some of these young people, do your own thing, find that area of expertise, and then eventually latch on with the big guys because that's where the real money is.
Well, it's true, but when you say the big guys, like, didn't Spotify lose money?
Yeah.
I think, you know, so, like, if you have a podcast, for example, Smartless. I listen to Smartless regularly.
That's great.
You know, and I know you get it through Apple Podcasts. I have no idea how they operate. Like, I don't know what their backroom is. I don't know who really pays them. I don't know who the company is. So, yeah, that would be the goal, is to get on with some. I guess it's just like, I guess if you were you need a distributor, right?
Mm.
You know, you got to find the distributor. Which podcast distribution company do you want to go with? And they're out there. Spotify was just a big one that I think bit off more than they could chew. But there are other avenues out there. Apple, Stitcher. I don't even know if Stitcher's still around, but that would be the thing to do. This is why I laugh. When I listen to Smartless and I hear those three guys. Do you listen? Have you checked that out?
Oh, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. But, you know, and they go, and then there's the three of them. They're sitting in front of a computer doing their Zoom. And then they mention all the guys behind the scenes, like three or four people. I'm like, what do you guys do?
Right.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, wait a minute. All you have to do is press a button on your computer and record it. You can have like a staff behind you. Like when I do the thing with Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman, I just record it on my computer and I send it off to CLNS Media. I don't need a, you know, and they do whatever they want with it. Oh my God, those guys, well, they're Hollywood types. But anyways, it's a different world, Richie. Different world.
Ain't that the truth. Gary Tangway with us here on Downtown. Any more news on the film you did with James L. Brooks?
I can't remember. Did I talk to you after I shot it?
You did.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're still shooting. James, you know, Jim, can I call you Jim? Jim, he takes his time. Nobody rushes him. So I talked to an actor friend of mine who I was on with, and he had one more scene to shoot. He had a scene by his car where he had to say something, you know, he had a couple lines. And I thought they were, you know, I was wrapped, and I thought they were going to shoot his the next day. He just texted me today. He goes, they just shot my scene.
Wow.
So, Brooks does what he wants when he wants because he can. They're supposed to be wrapped at supposed to be first month of May, but that's probably going to go an extra week or two. But like I told you before, all professionals, just I wish film students or acting students could be a fly on the wall to see how the stars, the Jamie Lee Curtis, the Albert Brooks, you know, the Emma Mackey's, who you will know after this movie, and they're just pros, man. They're just pros. They just work, work, work. And it's like the old story. I can't remember who it was. Somebody said they walked into a studio. It was some famous singer to meet the Beatles. And it was four guys with long hair and T-shirts just playing instruments. And they would been there for like 12 hours. And that was the Beatles.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they just for hours, hours and hours and hours. And it's like, you know, Brooks is amazing. He doesn't miss a line. He knows what he's doing. They shoot it 100 different ways. He's funny every time. He's self-critical, you know, and Jimmy, they're all pros, man. And they're not above it. You know, Jim will tell them that take sucked, you know, or that now we're going to do that differently. It's really cool to see why people are successful. That's the thing.
Well, and you have worked with some really, really top-notch directors.
They're all pros. They just know what they're doing, man. I mean, you know, Rian Johnson, Brooks, and you know, Jay Blakeson, who's really come on with the movie we did. Yeah, I've been fortunate, you know, to get John Curran. And at the end of the day, they all do the same thing, Rich. It's like putting on a play in your backyard. You know, when you get right past it. When you get past all the lights and the lighting and the cinematographer at this level is vital. You know, the cinematographer on this movie, Ella McKay, did, Daniel Day-Lewis and Blood. There Will Be Blood, and he won an Academy Award for that. You know, so the cinematographer, obviously, with the lighting and so forth, is vital. But when it comes to the behavior, it's just like you talking to your kids, putting on a play. I mean, that's the way they do it. Brooks talks to Jamie Lee Curtis and Albert Brooks the same way. And same thing with other films I've been on is once you get past all the SUVs and security and lights and camera, it's just that, you know, it just comes down to that. Say the line like this. Can you try it like this? Same stuff.
Hey, did you watch any of The Dynasty?
I have. I got burned out on it. I got to be honest with you, Rich. I'm so burned out on it. And somebody said that to me today. My friend Drew said, oh, it was great. And I go, look, like I've said, and I've said it to you, Brady had his thing. Belichick had his thing. And now the Krafts, God bless them, they have theirs. I've heard it all before. There is some new things in there. And I think Robert Kraft should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind. He should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He saved the Patriots. He saved them from moving. He brought six Super Bowl championships to the area. He created a dynasty with a team that was an absolute joke. A joke. And he made it a dynasty. And I love this story. I got burned out on it. Like episode 3, episode 4. But people keep telling me it's great, though. You know, the Aaron Hernandez segment, they say is great. And that's probably, I got to get back on.
Well, you were right in the middle of a whole lot of it, too. And when you live it, sometimes you don't feel the need to go back and relive it.
Well, I was, but I've even heard from some people that were with me that they're learning new stuff, too. But, you know, this is the day and age of our media. You know, the Tom versus Time, the new stuff is going to benefit Brady. When Belichick comes out and does his thing on NFL Network, it's going to benefit Bill. You know, and all of this stuff comes out now, it's going to be all the good news about the Krafts, which they all were great. You know, that's like when you leave the media, you just realize how ridiculous it is. Like, you got to pick a side. Was it Bill? Was it Tom? Was it Robert? You know what? Yeah, you go with the player, I guess. Yeah, I was talking to somebody today. You know, does Bill win six championships without Brady? No, he doesn't. But does Brady get the shot without Bill? You know? I mean, here's another thing that people forget. How many coaches would have put Bledsoe back in as soon as he was ready?
Right.
Most. Most. I'd say 8 out of 10. And Bill said, yeah, no, we're sticking with Tom. And I don't think Belichick gets enough credit for that. You know, I don't. So, yeah, the Aaron Hernandez stuff. I heard there was new stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff out of that area that I heard people didn't know. So,
seen any good movies or TV lately?
Well, you know, I'm waiting. We've talked about it. I'm waiting for episode 3 of The Bear.
Oh.
Season 3 of The Bear.
Can't wait.
And I just started Palm Royale, which is Carol Burnett plays the matriarch.
Yeah, we had Julia Duffy, who's in it. She was on with us last week.
Wow. It looks great. I've just started it. So, you know, I tried to watch some of the Oscar-nominated movies, like the one with Emma Stone and Defoe, and I couldn't get through it. I can't remember the name.
Poor
I
Things.
Couldn't get through it. Yeah, I couldn't get through it. You know, so Palm Royale is the one I'm on right now. But that looks fun. And my buddy told me Masters of the Air is phenomenal.
I've heard that too. Yeah, I need to catch up on that.
You know, I got to catch up on that. But it's lacrosse season, Rich.
Oh, boy.
Lacrosse season. Wheels are turning. Cars are moving.
All right. That means you're on the road, right, watching games?
Oh, God, man. Wherever, yeah. It doesn't end. One's in college, one's playing in college, and one's, you know, in seventh grade, and it just does. And that's fine. That's fine. But, yeah, pretty busy. Doesn't end.
Well, you enjoy that, Gary. Good to talk with you as always, and we'll catch up with
you
again.
I'm going to ask you one question.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
One question.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Red Sox game?
I have watched every game so far.
Okay. Tell me this.
Yes.
Is there a chance this team becomes likable?
Yes. Yeah, because they're first of all, they're young. I think they're hungry. They play good defense, so they don't make as many dumb mistakes as they did last year, and nobody expects anything out of them. Yeah, I think this could be a likable team. And again, it's Major League Baseball. You 4 games above 500, you're in the wild card hunt. It doesn't take a lot to be relevant.
See, it doesn't matter right now if they have a chance to win the World Series. What matters is if people want to root for them.
Yes.
And I just had a feeling. While people are pissed off at ownership, I get it. But I just had a feeling that maybe this team might capture the hearts a little bit.
I think, certainly it's 5 games in, but watching these young pitchers go out there and just shut people down. Now, it may not continue, can't continue at this pace, but boy, first time through the rotation, an ERA down near 1, that ain't bad.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. Plus the Celtics, I'm a little worried about the Celtics. They've got to learn to close games, and Denver's still the best team to beat. But anyways, I don't want to hold you up. But I consider you a baseball expert, and I wanted your opinion. So
there you go. We'll check back in, and we'll check in a few weeks and see if I still feel the same way.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Tangway with us here on Downtown as we get it underway on a Tuesday afternoon.